You're listening to the Sincere Skin Series, a platform where we share the personal stories and first-hand accounts of those living with unique skin conditions.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Sincere Skin Series. Today, we have a very, very special guest. I'll let her introduce herself more, but her name is Emily, and she is the remarkable woman behind the account Emily's Eczema. So, Emily, I'm really excited to chat with you today, and yeah, let's just get started. If you could just introduce yourself.
So yeah, thanks for having me. I'm Emily. So I set up my Instagram page to sort of document my eczema, which we'll go into more. But yeah, so I'm 22 and I live in England. So that's sort of me in a nutshell without going into too much detail.
Nice, thank you. So I just want to start right at the beginning. So when were you diagnosed with eczema and sort of what was it like in those like early stages of your life?
Yeah, so I've sort of had eczema as long as I can remember. I was a baby when I first sort of was diagnosed with it. So I was literally, before I could even walk, I had the skin condition. So I was sort of a baby wrapped up in bandages all the time, which is obviously quite hard because you couldn't, I obviously can't remember in great detail, but it was, you know, I'd cry for my mum a lot of things. She would have to take me to a special dermatologist at the hospital. And then she'd get like comments from people in the street if I had bandages on saying, oh, how could you let that happen? Thinking I'd been burned or something when it was actually my skin was just so inflamed. People thought it was from like neglect or something because it wasn't as like commonly known as it is now, I don't think. So yeah, it was quite a challenge, I think.
That's really sad just to hear that. The whole bandages thing, and it must be difficult going through that from such a young age. What about when you started going to school and like high school, middle school, what was it like then?
It was quite difficult because I was quite a shy sort of kid. When people would comment on it, I wouldn't really know how to react. They'd sort of go, oh, what's that on your skin? I kind of catch it. Is it contagious? And especially when you're young, you don't really know how to react to comments like that. Because obviously school's a challenge anyway, so the fact you'd have to then explain it to people when you're already embarrassed about it, it was quite hard, and sort of had to learn how to deal with that quite quickly, which was definitely a challenge.
I know, I can imagine, because middle school and high school are difficult enough anyways, and then when you have people commenting about things.
Yeah, exactly. I think we've all been there.
I know, but I just wanted to sort of track away from that just because, well, let's go back to that towards the end. But
yeah,
since we're sort of an organization, we rely a lot on facts and science. And also, could you just explain to the viewers like what eczema really is and what some common symptoms are?
Yeah, so eczema is basically patches of skin. It can be large areas, small areas, there's lots of different types. But the sort of main symptoms are sort of inflamed, itchy and rough skin. Some types can cause blistering. You know, it's really sore. Your skin can crack. It can be quite mild, but it can also be quite severe as well. And then according to the internet, there are 31.6 million sufferers in the US, which is more than 10% of the population. And there's actually no cure for eczema. There's just sort of ways to manage it. But I think as well, people don't realise how much it can affect your sort of mental health and your physical health. It's not just sort of, it's more than your skin. It's, you know, affects sort of every, I found it affects every sort of aspect of my life as well, not just my skin. So yeah.
Well, I didn't know the statistic was that large. That's really, really
prevalent. No, I didn't either, to be honest. But yeah, I feel like it's more people than we know have it. I think it's sort of something people learn to cover up rather than just embracing it as well, which is sad.
I know. Thank you so much for that explanation about it. So I know you mentioned something about treatment and just kind of managing it. So in terms of treatments, what treatments have you gone through or how have you sort of managed the symptoms of eczema?
Yeah, so they sort of started when I was younger. I'd have special bandages soaked, I can't even remember what type of solution it would be, they're quite strong steroid creams and things like that, that I'd have to wrap me up when I was younger so I couldn't scratch and things. And then I'd sort of go through periods where it had settled down, but then when I had a flare up, they give me one steroid cream And then if that didn't work, you get a stronger one, and they get progressively stronger. I've had courses of oral steroids, which are like tablets for, to calm down and obviously stop infections. I've been prescribed sort of like an immunosuppressant cream, which is meant to stop your body sort of reacting as badly. But recently, I wanted to sort of have a more holistic approach and sort of let my body try and heal a bit more naturally, because I'm becoming more aware of putting chemicals in my body. So I actually went and had some red light therapy, which is not as risky as like going to a sunbed and having UV therapy. It works on like an LED light, which is meant to help bring down the inflammation, which I saw a massive difference with. And I'm using more sort of natural creams now, but I know lots of people use lots of different ways to heal. It's just whatever works for you, really. But there's sort of, that's my journey with my healing. So I'm lucky enough to be able to sort of cut out the steroids now, which is great.
I'm so happy for you. I'm really happy to hear that the red light therapy is also working, because I know like steroid creams and they have a lot of side effects. So could you elaborate on that? Like, how was your experience with that? Did you feel any unwanted effects from it?
To start with, I was sort of didn't really notice. I just thought there were creams, you know, you could put them on and things, but you're sort of not meant to use them all. You're not meant to use them all the time. So you might get given them and say, put them on sparingly once or twice a day for a week. So I'd do that. But then when the week was up, my skin would be better. But as soon as I stopped putting the creams on, the eczema would come back. So then I'd go back to the doctors and I'd get a stronger one. And I felt like I was sort of getting in this cycle of, oh no, it's not working, let's put something stronger on and stronger. And, you know, it was sort of like my eczema was worsening when I was stopping the cream. So I was getting sort of concerned with that. And actually, like, making my Instagram, I realised there's something called topical steroid withdrawal. I won't go into massive detail about that, but that was something I sort of became aware of. So if you have eczema, it might be worth sort of reading about that, which is when I decided to see how my body would cope cutting them out, because I didn't want to become reliant on them, because they can be quite a powerful drug at times. They're very strong. And I didn't want to get to the point where I was using a really, really strong cream and that wasn't working, because then you sort of have nowhere else to go. Well, you do, but I didn't want to go down the immunosuppressant route for me personally. But yeah, so they can be quite risky, but used well, they can be fine.
Mm-hmm. What was the sort of, I know you mentioned, you know, eczema is not just a physical condition, it affects the mental health a lot. So how did going through using the steroid creams, all of that sort of affect your mental health?
It could be very challenging at times. Sometimes, you know, some days are better than others with anything. But I think the worst time for me was sort of last year. I kept waking up with swelling around my face and around my eyes. And I was getting sort of really worried because I'd never had it so bad. Even, you know, my skin had sort of calmed down, and then all of a sudden my flare-ups were getting awful, and I just sort of felt like I was a bit lost. I wasn't really sure what to do. And it's trying not to panic, because then stress triggers the skin condition as well. So it's like a bit of a vicious cycle. And then you're trying to work out what it is with allergies and everything else. It, you know, it can be really, really stressful. And for me, like, made my anxiety so much worse, waking up not knowing what my skin was going to be like in the morning. So that was a real challenge for me as well.
I'm really sorry to hear that. But I know that at least your mindset towards eczema has shifted. So I just wanted to, now we got all the science out of the way, I just want to talk about how has your mindset changed over the years of eczema, and like, how do you view it now?
Yeah, so I think originally I felt quite embarrassed to have eczema. I felt like it was something that I should feel ashamed of. You know, I'd see people wearing shorts and little vests and their skin would be perfect. And I'd always think, why don't I look like that? But then sort of as I've got older, I've realised everyone has an imperfection, whether we see it or not. Everyone's got something they're sort of not ashamed of, but wish they could wish something away. So I think over time, I've just sort of learned to accept that eczema is a part of me. And instead of seeing it as something that I should be ashamed of it. I should use it to sort of be more confident and empower other people and try and make it something that's normalized a bit more, because I can't change it. I can't make it go away. So I may as well try and live with it and make it a strength of mine and more of a weakness, I think.
I love that mentality so much. I love that message. I think in a way, social media, it has its pros and cons, right? Social media makes us see a lot of really edited and flawless people and pictures. But at the same time, it also is a platform to inspire others. I think that's something that you've done really well.
Thank you.
Just based on that, what was your inspiration behind starting your Instagram page? What has been your favorite part? What have you learned from it? Just give us all the information.
Yeah. So I basically started it as a sort of diary for myself more than anything. I didn't think for a minute that I'd have people that actually wanted to hear and see the things I posted. I thought if I document the journey from sort of when my skin was at its worst, to remind myself, you know, that I do heal, I can heal, and look back at the progress. Because I think it's quite easy to get stuck in the present. And I mean, I think it is good to look back sometimes, but not get stuck in the past. So I used it as a sort of way to show how I'm progressing and how I'm getting on with my skin, really. But it's helped me sort of meet other people in the same situation and made me realise I'm not the only person going through this. And, you know, my feelings are valid and there's other people out there as well feeling the same things. So it's quite nice to sort of make friends with people in the similar situation. Definitely has helped me.
Yeah, I think social media is just so great at doing that. Like even us, we connected over social media and that's the reason you're here.
It can be great at times.
Definitely. So what's the plan? Where do you see yourself? Where do you see maybe your page going in 5 years or in the future? Like what do you want to sort of get out of this social media page?
Yeah, so I kind of never thought it would be something that I'd be really into. I just sort of thought I'd see. But I just want to keep sort of working on my own confidence and myself and keep progressing with my skin. But if I can help and reassure other people along the way, and, you know, if there's people in the situation I was in sort of 6 months, 12 months ago, if I can sort of help them, like whether it's with mental health or with skin or, you know, anything like that, I feel like that's a plus. And like you said before, Instagram can be full of airbrushed pictures and things that aren't real. I think posting real things and posting things that are helping to end the stigma behind skin conditions and body image and anything like that, I think would be an aim of mine, to, you know, be more real rather than, you know, posting things that just aren't accurate. So I think for me in the future, just keeping things real, posting the bad and the ugly.
No, definitely. Even our organization, Derma Dreams, like we really like to bring awareness about not just skin conditions, but just like acceptance for anything that you might feel insecure about on your skin, whether it be acne, or I know a lot of Indian people with Indian heritage, like I do, we have hyperpigmentation on our skin. So like it's a little darker. And you know, we should just embrace everything because everyone is unique, everyone is different. So
exactly, 100% agree.
Me too. Just to sort of go back to what you were mentioning about kind of like keeping things real on social media and everything, do you feel like that's the direction that social media, Instagram are moving towards, or do you feel that we're moving away from it right now?
I think there's sort of a bit of both, to be honest. I've found useful for me following accounts that I find empowering, and if there's someone I follow that makes me feel insecure or that I feel doesn't impact me in a positive way, no like offense to them, I'll just sort of unfollow, make sure I follow people that are sort of relevant to my mindset and what I believe in. But I think there are more people sort of posting things, whether it's about your body image, skin, ethnicity, you know, anything like that. I think people are becoming more open and, you know, they're not embarrassed to, you know, touch on subjects which maybe were sort of taboo not long ago. But then on the other hand, we do still have a lot of Photoshop and, you know, comparisons. I don't know whether you get a lot of them, but where they sort of put women against each other, like who wore it better, or what I eat in a day and things like that. I don't feel like they're necessarily good things that should be posted, but, you know, it might be a controversial opinion there, but I think things like that can be quite sort of damaging in some ways. But
yeah,
there
are
people out there. Yeah,
I feel like it goes both ways, because like you have these platforms where anyone can start a platform and showcase like their real skin and be really authentic. And then on the other hand, you have those filters that just like change your whole face and everything.
Yeah. They were saying about putting, you know, people should, if they put a filter on, it should say that something's filtered, which I think would be really good. And they obviously did something where you can't see how many likes people have. So it's not just like a material thing, which I think is a step in the right direction too, which
definitely
would be good. And, you know, ads, you know, if things are paid ads as well, which is also sort of being more real. People can't con you into sort of buying things and stuff as well.
Something interesting I saw was that a lot of people were calling out certain influencers and celebrities who were putting up ads for skincare products and et cetera, with filters on their skin, which is like so outrageous, because you already know what their skin looks like.
Makes me so mad. Or they're like using products when they've got like immaculate skin and like razors and things, they're like shaving hairless skin, and you think it's not embarrassing, you know, like why not show the actual thing like doing its job, rather than like this perfect supermodel who's using these products with immaculate skin. Show someone with real skin. That'll make people buy it more, I feel like.
Definitely. And I think a good step in the direction is a lot of skincare influencers are starting to actually showcase that. Like, I've seen quite a few influencers now who actually deal with acne, deal with hyperpigmentation, have dry patches, you know, like just kind of being real. And I think it's a really good step in the direction.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, definitely.
So just kind of a fun question. If someone was listening to this podcast that we're talking on right now, and they had eczema, or they had any other skin condition or any sort of insecurity, what advice would you like to give them? Let's say this was like a teenager in high school.
I would probably say, trust your body and listen to it. You know, we quite often have, you know, things happen from stress or from a situation or thing, you know, sort of listen, try and find out what your body's telling you. And everyone has insecurities and things we would wish away. So I think trying to learn to love yourself and, you know, learn to deal with the stress and reduce negative thoughts helps us become, you know, stronger in ourselves. And our bodies are so resilient, and it's pretty amazing, like the things we all go through, but even behind closed doors, you never know what someone's going through. So I think being kind to each other as well is a big thing, supporting each other and just normalizing normal things is, you know, it's fine to feel all the feelings. You know, I think we've all been there and felt insecure and unhappy with ourselves. Everyone does. But I think just trying to work on your own confidence and not worry what other people think, because at the end of the day, the most important thing is what you think of yourself.
Perfect. Yeah, I love that advice. I think that's really applicable, especially to high school students, because I feel like that's sometimes the peak of lots of stuff happening, lots of insecurities. One final question, sorry, just a fun question our viewers really like to hear. So what is your current skincare routine?
My current skincare routine. So I've recently started using a company called Mugu, who do like a lot of natural products. So I use, in the shower, I have their milk wash shampoo and conditioner. So I use that in my hair and on my skin. I use on my face, they have a MSM moisturizer, which is like a sensitive, helps reduce inflammation moisturizer, which I really like. And then when my skin's really dry, I also have, it's like a balm. So it's quite thick. It's got shea butter and stuff in it, which is called Eve Anae Skin Balm, I think it's called. But she's on Instagram. So I use her balm when my skin's really bad. So that's quite a boring skin routine.
No.
I keep it simple because it works for me. So
no, that's so important. Simple is always better instead of using a billion products.
Yeah, I've tried all sorts and I've found that keeping it simple. And like when my skin's really bad, I actually wash just with like Dipra-based lotion, which is like a cream because it's so gentle. It's the only thing I can wash with when my skin's really, really sore. But I've found that works for me. So I've just stuck with it rather than trying to incorporate lovely smelling things because they just don't agree with me.
That is perfect. I have sensitive skin as well, so I have to keep things bare minimum. Yeah. So totally agree with that.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's about it. So thank you so much, Emily. It was such a pleasure having you today. I really enjoyed our conversation. And to all of our viewers, I hope you enjoyed listening to Emily and my conversation today. And make sure to follow us on Instagram and continue supporting our podcast on Spotify. Thank you.
Thank you.